Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show with your hosts, Bigger and Briggs.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show from the Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome into the Asylum, and drop us a line if you dare. AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @AsylumFootball. Follow us right there. All the comings and goings of the Asylum. Well, Rick, it's been a slow week. Not a lot to talk about. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe cover women's college basketball or something here for the rest of this episode.
Have you ever seen, seriously, such a frenzy in free agency?
I'm sure it has. For some reason, maybe it's the names involved, the levels of players involved. It seems bigger than anything I've ever seen. What's stunned me has been the trade market. How many times, Rick, in the past 10 years have you seen player-for-player trades? And we've seen three or four of them in the last couple of days. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
No, you're right. It doesn't. And I'll tell you what, it's really amazed me the way St. Louis has loaded up on quarterbacks.
Right.
And Philadelphia seems to be blowing the whole thing to smithereens. And I've been tweeting out all week. I'll tell you what, Chip Kelly, you want to blow this thing up? You better win. You better win now, because if there's an ends to these means,
right,
it better show up in 2015.
And I have to wonder, and maybe we'll start with that deal right off the bat, because this is the one that caught me the most by surprise, is Nick Foles for Sam Bradford. I know there was some draft picks involved, and
right,
but really, that's from a day one perspective, that's what it comes down to. What did you gain there? What do you gain? Nick Foles, boy, in flashes, he's looked like the next quarterback in the NFC, and then he'll come back to earth a little bit and he'll pop back up. So you want to dismiss every decision Chip Kelly makes as fitting into his system. He's got this weird system that's his, and it works for him. It worked for him in college, and he's had a modicum of success with it in the NFL. Truth be told, more than I thought he would. But if you're telling me Nick Foles isn't the guy to run that offense, is Sam Bradford the guy to run that offense?
Well, I'm looking at it from Jeff Fisher's perspective. You know, a lot of guys are higher on Bradford than I am, especially, and even you.
Right. He intrigues me. I'm not going to ring the bell for Sam Bradford,
exactly.
But this kid could be the real deal.
But what St. Louis is getting is a quarterback who I will say probably is equal in talent.
Right.
Okay. With the positive that he doesn't get injured.
Right. And that's the...
And he's also picked up Case Keenum. Not the second coming of Johnny Unitas, but
this guy's a real nice backup.
He's not going to lose the season for
right,
you.
Right, he's a solid backup.
Something would happen. I really think St. Louis is making a lot of good moves, at least in the quarterback position, because with that defense that they have.
That defense is good enough to win that division.
The
offense is nowhere close, and I don't think bringing in Nick Foles resolves that situation. But you see them making positive steps, and I think they want to get out from underneath Sam Bradford. It's an experiment so often with these early first-round quarterbacks. It just didn't work out. But swinging it back to Philadelphia, you talk about the injury concern with Sam Bradford. Yeah, they signed Ryan Matthews today to replace LeSean McCoy, who you send out of town for. Well, I'm sorry, all respect to Mr. Alonzo and his family,
right,
for a song when you're talking about LeSean McCoy, and you sign Ryan Matthews, no stranger to the injury report either. That's my concern with these moves.
Oh, mine too. I mean, you look at Bradford coming back from another torn up knee, going to Philadelphia. Okay, you don't have LeSean McCoy anymore. You
right.
have an oft injured Ryan Matthews. Oh, you don't have Jeremy Maclin anymore. You
yeah.
have Riley Cooper. You don't have DeSean Jackson, of course, a year removed from that. But that whole core is gone. So basically you have Jordan Matthews, you have Riley Cooper, Brent Celek, and Ryan Matthews. And Sam Bradford.
Right.
That's not what
doesn't blow
Nick
my skirt
Foles
up.
Was playing with.
Right. And that doesn't blow my skirt up by any means. you wonder what the end game is. I'm not sure. You know, Chip Kelly has said he wants to change the culture in Philadelphia. I don't know what the culture was that necessitates blowing out all of your all of your stars, all of your top players.
Right.
I'm not willing to buy into. Did you hear the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard? Stephen A. Smith on First Take on ESPN. His thought was because Chip Kelly's a racist, and so he's getting rid of all these African-American players, although not coincidentally, he's then re-signing an equal amount of African-American players. But
okay, we got
who am I to argue with Stephen A. Smith?
We brought in a white guy in Sam Bradford. Oh, but we got rid of a white guy, Nick Foles.
So I think
you're destroying the studio.
Smash my microphone.
Don't get excited. But let's move on from Philadelphia. I just think the pressure's really going to be on. Because that division is not going to get any easier.
No, certainly not.
We see the Giants making a couple of moves.
Yeah, bringing in Shane Vereen. That's an interesting move.
That's very interesting. And that's just an added dimension of weaponry out of the backfield that they didn't have last year. They tried to throw Rashad Jennings a football, so, of course, he was injured a lot.
Right.
Andre Williams isn't the deal when it comes to that. This is a nice little move.
And you think back... with success at the end of his career with Tiki Barber, this worked a little bit in that Giants offense, just a little bit. Vereen, this is something he does very well. I'm always worried about these gimmick guys. You know, I don't want to call Vereen a gimmick guy. He just makes plays. But his success comes from the interesting things the Patriots offense does. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago, I believe, about Julian Edelman. And if he was going to end up anywhere else, and we both agreed you're not going to see the Julian Edelman you see for New England every Sunday anywhere else in the league. You wonder, are there other offenses equipped? Are the Giants equipped? I guess we don't have to talk about the other offenses. Are the Giants equipped? Can Shane Vereen have the success with the Giants and with Eli Manning that he did and with Tom Coughlin that he did with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick up there in New England?
I think with the emergence of Odell Beckham, I think it's just enhances his value.
Right.
To be honest with you. Because the passing game, look, Eli is frustrating fantasy-wise. I mean, let's face it, period. He's just a frustrating quarterback. But he can move the football around. They did it last year. I just think they're going to be a lot more potent in a division they need to be.
But I don't think you see the cartoon-like numbers out of Vereen that you would get in small subsets of games and that
probably
we would
not
go into the last two fantasy seasons expecting him to extrapolate that over a season, which he's never done. I don't think he has as much value anywhere else as he does with New England. And that rings true for a lot of guys, quite honestly. But it's a good move. Like you brought up, Rashard Jennings is often banged up. You know, Williams, boy, I don't know. In flashes, he looks like a really good NFL quarterback. And at other times,
running back.
Or what I call him, a quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
Maybe he can play quarterback,
yeah,
too. We saw him in Pershing. He's a heck of an athlete. I'll give him that. But so, I don't know. That's an interesting move for me. I think you're looking at a mid to late round fantasy value on Shane Vereen right now. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach to see how he fits into that offense and see how Tom Coughlin and specifically Eli use that, if they use that weapon to any degree like New England does.
Yeah. Ryan Matthews, go up, go down, stay the same for you. It's not like he left an impotent offense in San Diego, Bandy stretch.
And, you know, he came off a year, 2 years ago, where he put up some really nice numbers and was looking good and started getting banged up a little bit again this year.
Wasn't it interesting how the Chargers' offense went the way Danny Woodhead went?
Right. And
I mean, you look at the year before, and it was dynamic.
Absolutely.
He goes out with a blown out knee. I think it wasn't a knee.
Yeah.
And Matthews was kind of so-so. They just started imploding a little bit. And, you know, it was interesting to see that effect. I'm looking at that giving him too much credit.
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, guys like that, you know, you call these gimmick guys, they're becoming more and more valuable.
Right.
Darren Sproles, you know, on and on.
Yeah. So back to your question, I think Philadelphia takes a drop at that position right now. What's it mean for Ryan Matthews? Right now, yeah, I'm going to cop out a little bit, and I'm even on it. I'm kind of lukewarm. I don't think the Eagles and Chip Kelly are done by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's going to be another move there. You cannot go into your season as an NFL franchise counting on Ryan Matthews to carry your load. You can't do it. I don't want to call him a change of pace back, but
almost
he's going
to
have to split. 50-50
split with him and Sproles.
Right, but Sproles isn't anybody you can run between the tackles. And really, Ryan Matthews, in that offense, he sort of took on that role when he played because of the Danny Woodhead situation. You saw he couldn't hold up to that. So I think, you know, you're looking at almost two change of pace backs. I think there's got to be a third person in that mix. So actually, I've talked myself into, I think his fantasy value may dip a little bit. Now, anybody at a skill position, and especially a running back, I would say, has a chance to succeed in this Chip Kelly offense if Chip Kelly is able to run it the way he wants to run it. So there's potential there. And you know, Ryan Matthews is my boy, and I'm rooting for him. But I'm not sold on it. I don't love it. I think that team's offense is taking a big step back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I just don't see why they're blowing it up like they are. I cannot see where the moves are done any stretch.
They're just getting started. Well, let's take a break here, Rick. We'll come back. We'll just keep whipping.
There's a lot to talk about.
Plenty to go over all around the league, and we'll do that right after this.
And now, back to Fligger and Briggs on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show from AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, going around the league as fast as we can, trying to get all these moves in. We hit a little bit on the Rams, on the Eagles. That's where we spent most of the first segment. Lots of other moves out there. Speaking of the Eagles, losing Jeremy Maclin, going to Kansas City. From a football standpoint, great for the Chiefs. From a financial standpoint, fantastic for Jeremy Maclin, $2 million more than what Philadelphia was offering him. From your fantasy team perspective, Rick, no good. No good, my friend. Tell me I'm wrong. Give me one scenario under which Jeremy Maclin maintains his fantasy value in Kansas City.
Oh, he's not going to maintain his fantasy value. After the year he had last year, there's no chance. He's going to a team that had zero, count them on both hands, zero touchdown passes to wide receivers. Now, whose fault is that? Is it all Dwayne Bowe's fault and, you know, Jeremy Macklin's going to solve that problem? Maybe somewhat. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who, what, about 3 years ago had like 16, 17 touchdowns.
Right, right. And double digits last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Last year? Oh, the year before.
Really, the year before, yeah.
But, you know, Alex Smith is not a touchdown machine.
No.
And the offense runs.
I wish I had an understatement alarm I could push.
Yeah, since Noah said it looks like rain, you know. But anyway.
Lord, that's so cheesy.
But it's going to certainly help the Chiefs. But, you know, if you're going from 2014 to 2015 fantasy stock, yeah, it's plummeting. There's no question. And, I mean, it ranks right up there with the stock of Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
Going
to
Jacksonville.
That's a nice segue.
Great
there
for Jacksonville, and great for Thomas, because I'm sure Jacksonville, they had some money to spend. They got a nice tight end in there. And the tight end numbers will probably go up some.
Right.
But to compare him with what he did with Denver,
well,
I mean,
certainly,
it's plummeting again. Well, that's what we're talking about. Fantasy stock, if we're going to get into some of this stuff, as on the surface, I mean, these are bad fantasy moves.
Right. That being said, let's stick with Julius Thomas for a minute. And here, again, we need the understatement alarm. Going to Blake Bortles, you're taking a big drop from Peyton Manning, from that Denver offense to the Jaguars offense. Does his stock go down? Certainly. What do you consider a plummet? I think this guy's still a top 10 fantasy tight end at the end of the year. When you have a weapon like that, you can't cover Julius Thomas.
I don't think he is a top 10. Okay, number one, to me, he goes from Denver to Jacksonville, correct? automatically with the signing of Owen Daniels, boom, he's right over top of him right now.
You want to talk about somebody going the other direction, absolutely.
Okay, I'm still going to put Graham over him, and there's a guy we haven't hit. He's going to Seattle.
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, yeah. I want to spend some time on that deal.
Okay, you still have,
You got Gronk.
Well, of course, you have Gronk and
Greg Olsen.
Yeah, Olsen. I'm going AFC, and you're going to NFC. Right. Yeah, okay.
Maybe Bennett in Chicago.
Definitely. Without Brandon Marshall, I think he even becomes more important.
That's my point. The fact that you're having to think that hard.
We are thinking.
He's still Julius Thomas. Yeah, maybe we can put him together on a list, and we'll be doing that soon. It's getting about time to start doing our rankings here. I think at the end of the year, the numbers are going to be a big drop. But I think where he slots in amongst fantasy tight ends, I don't think you're going to see that big of a drop. I really don't. I think he's still Julius Thomas. Blake Bortles is terrible. All right, let's just get to it right now.
Okay, here's one question I put to you. Okay, he's still Julius Thomas, but the only Julius Thomas we've ever seen is from a Peyton Manning offense.
You're right.
That's the question I have. And maybe I'm a little overthinking it and panicking. Oh, yeah. It's Jacksonville. I'll tell you what, Jacksonville, I think, is going to be a competitor this
year. Nice moves. And now, you know, it seemed to be all the rumors yesterday that DeMarco Murray had it down to two teams, the Eagles and the Jaguars, with this signing of Ryan Matthews. If DeMarco Murray ends up in Jacksonville, okay, then we'll have that same conversation. His value drops a little bit, but how much better does that offense get?
Right.
In Jacksonville, if you add DeMarco Murray, if you add Julius Thomas, I don't think they're done. Could they get a Crabtree? There's some of these wide receivers still out there. Can they get one of these guys? You know, the wild card will be Blake Bortles. Let's be honest. That's what it's going to come down to. But I think, you know, sticking with Julius Thomas without getting too far outside the box here, it's a weapon you can't ignore.
Right.
You can't cover him. And you talk about, you see what he did. He only did it with Peyton Manning. That holds more water for me with a guy like Dallas Clark. When I look at Julius Thomas, let's just put those two guys side by side. And if I had to pick one who was going to have more, knowing nothing else other than to look at them, who was going to have more success as a pass-catching tight end in the NFL, 99 out of 100 people are going to pick Julius Thomas just based on his size, based on his hands, just based on all the intangibles. He's not going to put up the numbers. He's not going to put up 74 touchdowns or whatever obscene number he had last year with Peyton Manning. But he's going to be the focal point of this offense. And a guy like this, what are you going to do, put a corner on him when you play Jacksonville? Let's say they got no other talent. You're still not going to put a corner on Julius Thomas. There's nobody, linebacker or free safety, who can cover this guy. So while his numbers go down, I think top 10 might be playing it soft, but I haven't sat down and done the rankings. He's still easily a top 10 fantasy tight end for me.
All right. I mean, I have to sit down and go over this a little more myself to really, you know, argue. I certainly can't argue the fact the guy's talented and so forth. You know, in every report so far, Jags are unlikely to sign Murray as of right now. They're still in the game, but he's looking for like $8 million a year. I believe Cowboys offered him $5 million. That's not even close. I don't know what Jags have offered, but they're going to have to up the ante to get him. So he's out there in play.
I assume Philadelphia is out of the mix. I don't know who that leaves. Yeah, maybe he ends up back in Dallas.
As of right now, we haven't heard a whole lot of talk about Adrian Peterson
either. That's true, and he still wanted to go to Dallas.
Right.
So we don't know. That's an interesting one. And, of course, this show being pre-recorded, it'll probably break between now and when you're hearing the show because that's the way it goes.
Brian Hoyer to the Texans. 2 years, $10 million. At first, I say, okay, that's cool, but, you know, Andre's gone.
Right.
Went to the Colts. He's probably very happy about that. Going to a better division team.
Right.
And
going to Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and going to Andrew Luck and sticking it to his beloved Houston Texans, who for some reason have been wanting that for five years.
Yeah, he's hated them for 5 years. Still performed, though, so I'm curious to see how well a happy Andre Johnson plays. It might be worse. Maybe he needs that fuel. It'll be interesting to see.
Frank Gore and Ahmad Bradshaw, assuming he comes back fairly healthy. You have, of course, Hilton, Moncrief, and now Andre Johnson with Andrew Luck. Boy, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's a scary little look. They'll walk right through that division again. I don't think there's any question
Fleener
about
and company at tight end. Yeah. I mean, that's a potent offense, man.
A guy like Andre Johnson and a change, not a change of pace, but a change of pace from what they have, running back like a Frank Gore, that's how you could be competitive against your Baltimores, your New Englands, your Denvers. They're taking strides towards getting competitive and not getting just blown off the map in the first round of the playoffs, which has become sort of their – well, that's a team on the edge, and these are the moves that may push them over the edge. They've got – Andrew Luck's going to win Super Bowls before it's all said and done. Is it now with this group? I don't know. Andre Johnson, let's keep doing this. Assigned fantasy values up from when he was in Houston last year. His numbers took a little dip last year. I know he was banged up. Does he go back up? Does he stay even? Does he drop? Is it over for him? 3-year deal, so obviously they feel he's still got some time left.
I think going into this year, I think his fantasy value goes up. And catches... I'm not sure. I don't think they're going to dip that much. I think it's going to be Hilton and Johnson. I think he's going to be the number two guy. Moncrief's still going to be in there at three. So I don't think his production that way. Where I see an uptick is I think Luck will be able to find this guy in the end zone where it seems like nobody in Houston ever could.
He's out there catching 120 balls a season.
And you can't throw him in the end zone.
Can't find him in the end zone. Well, we got a break here, Rick. We'll come back. We'll keep up with this right after this.
We don't sleep so you can stay ahead of your competition. Stick with the Asylum.
Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, another team. Boy, we talked a lot about the Eagles, you know, in terms of teams making big moves and a lot of moves. The New York Jets going a long way here in the first couple days of free agency to making themselves potentially from the laughingstock to a legitimate contender in that AFC East.
Yeah, I think this division gets really interesting. And, you know, Brandon Marshall, when he first went to the Jets, I'm like, you know, talk about...
Just like we did with Eric Decker last offseason.
Yeah, plummeting stock. But now, all of a sudden, they pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's a lot different to have Ryan Fitzpatrick out there winging it around than being on, you know, Geno Smith Island.
Well, and here's the difference. He's going to throw the same three or four interceptions that Geno Smith will do, but he's also a lock 275 to 325 yards every week. He can hit receivers. And he's got himself a couple of weapons now.
Yeah, he does.
You got Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. Let's not forget him. Again, this isn't getting back with Peyton Manning in that Denver offense, but a guy who can legitimately get the ball down the field to a guy who is a legitimate downfield threat, along with a Brandon Marshall on the other side, who just based on size is uncoverable. If you can get the ball near him and keep it out of the defensive hands, you've got a legitimate offense here. I don't know what they're doing at the running back position quite yet. Yeah, Chris Johnson's gone and shot. Everything else. Yeah.
Good thing it was in the arm and not the leg. But
I don't know. Could you slow him down much more? All right, maybe he'll loosen something back up. I don't know. But that's a weird situation. But we just don't have time to get into that one. I could have some fun with that.
Why are you cruising around with your bros at 4 o'clock in the morning?
You know what?
Home.
You know what? First of all, nothing good's happening at 4 in the morning. Nah. I'm guessing they hadn't got up early to head somewhere.
That's
probably
what it was.
I'm guessing
this
was the end of the evening.
They were heading to work out or something.
What I was most disturbed by, and you shouldn't make light of it because somebody died and we've gotten in trouble for that
terrible.
From our listeners in the past, but there was three guys named Johnson in the car. All three got shot. None of them related. That bothered me the most. All these Johnsons hanging out, nobody related.
Well, it is like the most common last name in our country.
It just seems odd. I feel like a car full of unrelated Johnsons are up to no good at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think there may be more to this story to come. There's got to be... It just randomly, does that still happen? Yeah, I thought that went away in the 90s, just the random drive-by
shooting. I don't think that ever goes away, quite frankly. But anyway, let's move on to more interesting things, at least in my book anyway.
Yes, back to the Jets.
Yeah. The running back situation is a little dicey still. But I like what they're doing. They had money to spend. They had some cap room. And Brandon Marshall probably wasn't what everybody thought, you know, okay, you need to get out and get a receiver.
Right.
Everybody's screaming quarterback, yada, yada. But you have a receiver that is top five in the league.
Skill-wise, anyhow, from a skill set standpoint, absolutely.
Why not get him if you can afford him?
Right.
Start building around that, which they did. I like that move.
You have Eric Decker on the defensive side. You bring Darrell Revis back. This team has made some moves. And this entire
– they're looking at Browner.
Right.
So they could be scary.
Looking to re-sign Cromartie. That's going to be a tough little defense to throw on. They're going to be back to the years where they got to AFC title games with no offense to speak of, but that defense was so good. Now you throw a little bit of offense in there. Look, we're Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And Rex Ryan's going, why now?
Yeah, now you sign these guys. Now. You give me Geno Smith and Belial Powell and that clowny
receiver. Jeremy Curley.
Yeah, Jeremy Curley. That's who it was for all these years. Now all of a sudden it's a who's who of fantasy football goodness. It's unreal. Yeah, you got to feel a little bad. But now Rex up there, he's got his new toy in LeSean McCoy. That should be interesting. But this team's going to be something to contend with. And you look at Miami, a team that I believe was on the rise as it was, a team that already competes well with New England. Signing Sue to that massive deal, that defense all of a sudden looks real tight. Things are tightening up there in the East a little bit.
Yeah.
And Buffalo, for that matter. Everybody's gotten better. Everybody.
Exactly. It's a very tough division. And it's interesting. I was a little dubious when I saw how easily Sue left Detroit and went to Miami. All of a sudden, here comes Nada back into Detroit from Baltimore. I mean, they solidified that line rather quickly.
Yeah, I think it's a downgrade, Sue to Nada, but not a huge downgrade.
No.
So you make the good move. You save the money. Now, the big move for Detroit's going to be, we're just hopping all over the place, but that's the way this week has been. If Fairley goes, too, I thought once you let Sue go, you would immediately see Nick Fairley re-sign. He's still hanging out there.
Yeah, and all reports saying he's gone.
Yeah.
Basically as good as gone. So
not sure exactly what Detroit's getting at right there. But going back to that East, the one team you haven't seen make moves, and they'll make them later, and they'll be smart moves, is New England. You know, a lot of talk, speaking of the Jets, is of Percy Harvin. The New England has a lot of interest in Percy Harvin. That would be an interesting little signing, as Belichick and that Patriots organization has a way of taking these troubled type of guys, these guys with these reputations, turning them around a little bit. You still have Edelman doing what he does. You got Gronk up there. You give a deep threat speedster like Percy Harvin, you put him in that offense, you could be talking about some serious fantasy relevancy there as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot to – you know, you talk about Belichick and New England taking some of these troubled guys. You know, I don't care who you are. And it's kind of – it has to be something there. I mean, I just don't see a troubled guy going to Vince Lombardi giving him trouble.
Right. I think
going to Chuck Knoll giving him trouble.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. I think that's the way – that it is
you
in New England.
You adapt to your environment.
You do not – you're. It's not tolerated.
No. They will cut you.
Right.
He will cut you at halftime.
Yeah.
And you won't be seen again.
Right.
You
exactly.
just go away.
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount, perfect example. He was a screw-up in college. He was a screw-up in Tampa Bay. He was a hero in New England. He came to Pittsburgh, got his money. He was a screw-up there, went back to New England, and succeeded. It's just the way that organization's won. Rick, we're over time again. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up right after this.
We're racing right back into it. Thanks for joining us. We're Fleeger and Briggs on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. And here we are talking about free agency. I'll tell you, the guy that was a free agent, not anymore. Mr. Cobb re-signed with Green Bay along with Brian Bulaga. So, I mean, that offense stays intact, which is good for Green Bay fans.
Absolutely. You know, Randall Cobb basically saying he wants to win championships. And re-signing Bulaga, keeping Randall Cobb, you've obviously still got Jordy Nelson there. That's a team that's still very, very capable of winning championships down the road.
Well, you look at that division, I think, to be honest with you, Rick, some of the moves the Bears have made, getting rid of Brandon Marshall, so forth. Minnesota's improving. Detroit, they're not really improving anything. This division's falling right in Green Bay's lap as far as I'm concerned.
Already the best team in the division, and I think distancing, if I can spit that out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Making a bigger distance between them and the other people.
Professional radio guy, Rick Flieger, I'm your man. You call us up and we'll...
Brian Hartline signed with the Browns. Not a big deal to me.
Josh Gordon was still there. I might be interested in it. Brian Hartline ain't a number one guy, and now he's filling into that number. That and the whole... no quarterback situation.
Exactly. Hoyer's gone, and he actually took that team on his shoulders a little bit last year and got a fairly nice payday going to Houston. Mark Ingram re-ups with New Orleans, but let's get to the big trade.
Yeah, we're going to get back to Mark Ingram and New Orleans, but I can't believe we're halfway through the show and haven't discussed Jimmy Graham being dealt to the Seattle Seahawks. Wow. You talk about... an offense, really, that team wins on defense. They win on the backs of Marshawn Lynch. And I think we're a little remiss in not mentioning that Marshawn Lynch doesn't retire, re-signs with the Seahawks. I was hoping for a little more drama than that, a little more drawn out. But
that's just about that action ball.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's my man there. You bring Jimmy Graham into that fold. Where they still let you, Doug Baldwin's aight, he's fine. Some of these other receivers made some plays when they had to. You give an option read quarterback who does the job as well
as Russell Wilson,
does, and you give him a weapon like Jimmy Graham. Wow, in Vegas they went to, I think, 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. That might be low to me. If they stay healthy, if that defense stays intact, you add a weapon like Jimmy Graham. I can say nothing more but wow, just wow.
Look, make no mistake. Jimmy Graham isn't a Heath Miller. Now, he's not the prototypical, blue-collar tight end that does a lot of blocking and so forth. This guy is basically a huge receiver, slot receiver.
Right.
And that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to give Russell Wilson. Already concerns, talking, floating around. Of course, a lot of it, I think, is just media hype trying to stir something up that, he could be – trouble in the locker room and this, that, and the other. I don't think Pete Carroll is going to have much problems with anybody. Seems to be a real player's coach. He's got Marshawn Lynch on his side.
Right.
And
it seems to be, they seem to be one of those teams, and Pete Carroll seems to be one of those coaches where you got some knuckleheads in that locker room, chief among them being Marshawn Lynch. It works in that environment for whatever reason, the way Pete Carroll coaches. I get the feeling that they handle their own in the locker room, where I don't think the nonsense comes in. These guys are all nuts, Richard Sherman. They're all insane. It's like the Gas House Gang circa 2014. It works there in Seattle, and I think a guy with some issues, and you see if it gets too bad, they just blew Percy Harvin out of town mid-season. So, look, a weapon like Jimmy Graham, what's it mean for the Saints? That's what I'm more interested in, such a big part. And do you have concerns? Let's start here. Do you have concerns? I love Russell Wilson. It's a drop going from Drew Brees to Russell Wilson. Does Jimmy Graham have the same success there in Seattle as he did in New Orleans?
I don't think he has as big a success stat-wise. We're talking fantasy, of course.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be as big. But, going back to what you talked about, Julius Thomas, I think Jimmy Graham's still a top five guy.
Oh, yeah, I think he's still might be two behind Gronk now, but he's still one of the first two. Maybe not that first, second round.
I think
I
still throw Bennett up there and maybe Olsen. I may even put him at four right now.
Maybe.
However, he's still talking top five. So that's nothing to sneeze at. But, I think Seattle, it just makes them that much more dangerous.
So much better.
Now, New Orleans, conversely. Hey, actually, here's a question. And this is just kind of out of the blue. You look at that division right now. It is already sub-500 division winner last year. New Orleans, to me, has taken a step back. Right now.
Right.
Atlanta's done nothing.
Right.
Carolina's basically done nothing. And Tampa Bay. Yeah, they're talking about maybe getting Winston or Mariota. Who cares?
Right.
I mean, it means nothing to me.
Not this year.
No.
Certainly not.
The division's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly not getting any better. And I think, you know, New Orleans is going the other direction. It's maybe they're getting away. Maybe the re-signing of Mark Ingram. I never heard an explanation of why they traded Jimmy Graham. He wasn't a free agent. Am I mistaken? I don't remember reading that anywhere. Maybe it was a locker room. Maybe they're changing the locker room culture. Look, if you have Drew Brees at quarterback, gun to my head, if you put the 9mm to my temple right now and ask me who's going to win that division, I would tell you it's New Orleans because Drew Brees is at quarterback. When I look at the other quarterbacks in the division, Drew Brees is head and shoulders above them. Cam Newton's great in a different capacity. You know, Matty Ice... You give me a healthy
Matty Ice, to me, is melting. I'm sorry.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why. Give me a healthy Julio and a healthy Roddy for 16 games. Maybe we see what we thought Matt Ryan was going to be. But based on that, because you have Drew Brees, I think you still re-signing Mark Ingram. A lot of reasons. But, boy, losing Jimmy Graham, we've seen when he was banged up last year, they don't replace him. Daniel Thomas or any other Ben Watson, any other Tom, Dick, or Harry they stick in there. Doesn't perform. So this wasn't just an offensive set making the tight end.
Let me ask you a question. Just off the cuff here, and we'll get into him in the next segment. Steven Jackson gone. What would C.J. Spiller do in Atlanta?
Be interesting to see.
Wouldn't it?
It would be very interesting. I'll tell you what, let's take a break right here, and we'll talk about that right after the break. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasyStudios.com. Before the break, Rick, talking about the Saints a little bit and talking Mark Ingram, the re-signing there, what it means for that division, what it means for Drew Brees. So many questions, so much. I believe you talked about C.J. Spiller in Atlanta. That's what you were talking about. These breaks are too long, Rick. I can't even remember what we were talking about.
You can't remember 5 seconds ago, so don't try to blame it on the break.
I think there's a hole. There's, you know, both of those donkeys that were down there behind Steven Jackson were sort of highly coveted guys last fantasy offseason, and none of them panned out. If anybody had more success, it was Steven Jackson. While performing poorly, I think he outperformed my expectations. That tells you how low my expectations were. I think they need a dynamic type of back. Is C.J. Spiller too similar to the guys already in town? Is he the type of guy who makes the needle move a little bit, I guess. Yeah, he's a dynamic player in what should be a dynamic offense, but hasn't been.
C.J. Spiller is another version of Darren McFadden. He's got all the potential, and if he can stay healthy, can take an offense and actually turn it around.
Right.
Somewhat. You know, carry it on his shoulder. You make it more balanced and so forth. But he never can seem to stay healthy. So I think it's interesting. I'd like to see him in a pretty high-powered offense, but the problem is, even in Buffalo when he had Fred Jackson, who was as good, if not better,
right,
you know, when it got right down to it, probably better when you take performance against performance,
right,
talent-wise maybe not quite, but that's irrelevant. When you have a Fred Jackson there and you still can't stay on the field, do you see any team really wanting to risk a bunch of money thinking this is our guy?
No, it'd have to be at the right price. And I think he has to be a part of a tandem. That's who he is. Well, you're not going to give him 280 carries. He's not going to last.
No.
And it's not who he is, and you can only run so many sweeps. You know what I mean? NFL defenses are going to catch up to that. They're going to figure it out. Now, as part of a crowded backfield down there in Atlanta, could be interesting. You know a place I've been thinking about for C.J. Spiller?
What?
That I'm not sure if there's been any rumors, if it's been mentioned. Arizona would be an interesting place for a C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
An offense, a defense good enough to compete. We talked about the Rams. Good enough to compete with San Francisco. Good enough to compete with Seattle. And early in the year, beat them. You know, if Carson Palmer comes back healthy and he's got another year left in that shoulder, which is a concern, but I think you're going to have him back this year. You still got Larry Fitzgerald. You got all the weapons there at the wide receiver position. I think that's what they're lacking. is a real dynamic running back. You put a C.J. Spiller, he wouldn't have to carry the load in that offense.
Right.
He could be the change of pace guy he needs to be. You put a guy like that in that mix, and Carson Palmer has got another year or two left in him. That's a team that could compete for that division in what basically we just declared Seattle running away with it because of Jimmy Graham. That defense is good enough to win that division.
It's going to be a very tight division. Let's not write off San Francisco or St. Louis, but we're running out of time, and there's still guys out there, big name guys, still free agents. We talked about Spiller. How about Justin Forsett?
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Baltimore starting to lose some talent. They've lost Nada. They've lost Torrey Smith.
Smith to San Francisco. What do you think of that?
I think he's an upgraded Michael Crabtree.
Right.
So I think it's good for him and San Francisco.
That's a deep threat that.
Yeah. Definitely.
That they don't have, that they're lacking. That
right.
Crabtree, I think, was supposed to be. He couldn't stay healthy. He couldn't stay on the field. Torrey Smith isn't going to have 100 catches.
No.
But he's going to make plays. And it's something Colin Kaepernick's been lacking. You know, that's something we didn't even get into. You know, a lot of rumors floating around out there that the 49ers are shopping Colin Kaepernick. And the Texans were one of the teams mentioned, as a matter of fact. You put any validity into that?
No, I don't really. To what end? Who's going to play quarterback?
I don't know. Maybe they're thinking anybody but Colin Kaepernick, which at times I wouldn't blame them.
Well, maybe you have to be realistic in this sort of a witch hunt when you some of these people, because they're not happy, because Colin Kaepernick didn't win the big win and so forth. But, you put them against some of these teams, who's going to be better? I mean, you can't compare him to the Brady and Peyton Manning. These guys come around once in a life. That's why they're franchise quarterbacks. You find me somebody out there right now that San Francisco can grab and plug in and is going to be an upgrade over Colin Kaepernick, my hat's off to you, because you're not going to find it.
I mean, you're probably right. You just wonder. The only reason I gave that story any validity is you bring in a whole new coaching staff. Colin Kaepernick is a system kind of quarterback. He's an acquired taste, I guess, for lack of a better term. But there was a lot of talk about Philadelphia, which I think it would have been a good fit in Philadelphia, but I think that Sam Bradford trade rendered that moot. So we got a break here, Rick. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
They may sound nuts. So did the Wright brothers. Now, here's Fleeger and Briggs.
Wrapping up the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, this has just been stream of consciousness radio, just all over the place. Just too much news to keep up with, to keep in a nice, neat little box here. So hopefully we covered everything major. I'm sure more's happened since we've hit the airwaves. We can't even keep up with the news coming in. Well, let's have a little fun, Rick. We talked about in the last segment some of the free agents still hanging out there. So I want you, in looking at the way this free agent period has gone, looking at the behavior of certain teams, I'm going to give you just a couple of the big names still hanging out there.
All right.
Where you think they're going to end up. Maybe not where you think they should end up, but where you think they're going to end up. And let's start with the big one, I think the biggest name left out there, in DeMarco Murray.
Somehow, I think he's going to Jacksonville.
Do you think he's going to end up in Jacksonville?
They have the money to spend, and I think they're making some good moves.
Yeah, and I'd like to see it, because I think now all of a sudden you're talking about a team that's competitive in the AFC. For my money, not knowing yet, and I don't think we're going to know for a while what happens with Adrian Peterson, I still got this nagging feeling he stays in Dallas. I have a feeling.
Minnesota. Oh, you think?
No, I'm talking about Murray.
Okay, right, okay.
That he ends up staying in Dallas.
It's very possible.
I would think the way the big name guys got scooped up so fast, the fact that DeMarco Murray's still hanging out there, I think that gives Dallas an opportunity here.
Yeah.
You said they offered him 5, he wanted 8. I think Jerry Jones will move a little bit, but Jacksonville would certainly be very interesting. Rick, you brought him up, I believe, last segment, Justin Forsett.
I think Baltimore needs to keep him. They're losing too much talent, and I think he's going to end up in Baltimore.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think it's a good fit, sort of resurrected his career there a little bit. I think great, go test the market. Obviously, and I think, you know, we're going to get back off topic here a little bit. This just shows, Rick, the devaluation of the running back position.
Right. Yeah.
You, no running back signed to big deals. Mark Ingram got re-upped. You know, obviously, Ryan Matthews, but that wasn't a earth-shattering deal. LeSean McCoy traded. It wasn't a signing.
Which was.
There's a devaluation. I think teams are starting to believe. I believe, you know, let's take it to a fantasy perspective here a little bit. Just to use this term, the running back by committee, that's the way the league's going. And these teams aren't going to pay top dollars for workhorse backs. And I find it intriguing because I think a lot of the successful teams, obviously you got to have your franchise quarterback, but you look at your Le'Veon Bells, you look at the playoff teams, they had legitimate running back situations,
right,
and not a lot of question marks, but yet teams seem to be devaluing it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I'll put you on the spot. Jordan Cameron.
Oh, boy. So many places I don't think there's going to be a big market for him. I'll say I don't know.
I agree.
It doesn't matter, I don't think. He had one nice flash. He's that guy, but he's not Jimmy Graham.
Right.
He's not Julius Thomas. He's not Antonio Gates. I think he's shown to not be that guy. It all worked so well, and it went away. He got banged up, and it just wasn't there. But we're out of time here, Rick. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. Till then, thank God I got a week off to recover from that. Until then, we'll see you.
Hey, take care.